Welcome to the Boss Lady Podcast. Whether you are an entrepreneur climbing the corporate ladder or a work-from-home parent, you are a boss. I am Teresa Rand, an entrepreneur, mother, grandmother, wife, and former CEO.
And I'm Jennifer Roberts, a wife, mom, and a woman who walked away from a corporate PR career to embrace entrepreneurship. Join us as we break down strategies, tools, and techniques that will enhance your career and life.
If you desire to make your life extraordinary, to reach and exceed your personal and professional goals, and to learn from other strong leaders, then the Boss Lady Podcast is for you.
Together, we will embrace, empower, and educate each other.
This is the Boss Lady Podcast.
Welcome to the Boss Lady Podcast. We are glad to have you back today. If you are a returning listener, and if you're a new listener, we're thrilled to have you for the first time and hope you will stick with us throughout this episode. Maybe look up some of the past episodes and also subscribe and all that great marketing stuff. My partner, Jennifer Roberts, who's here with us today, always reminds me to do. So we want you to do all the things, right, Jen?
All the things. Well, when you subscribe to a podcast, it just means that more people get to hear it. So if you enjoyed this, we appreciate you subscribing. And hey, if you're so compelled to share it with someone else, you can do that too. So, but that allows more people to see it when you subscribe. So
awesome.
We're excited to do that.
So I'm Teresa Rand. I run a business called Teresa Rand Consulting. That's the extent of my creativity. And it focuses on leadership, communication, enhancing productivity, change management, all those fun things for companies and teams. And also, I do some individual coaching as well. And then my partner in crime has her own business too. Jen, tell us what you do.
I own Back Porch Communications, and I do PR, marketing, communications work from everybody from small business all the way to corporate America with a specialization in healthcare. I spent a lot of my career in healthcare communications, so that is an area where I spend a lot of my time, but also love to help women who are in business as well. And of course, in the Boss Lady Podcast, that's a passion of Teresa and mine, which makes this a good bit. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And then you'll hear us talk about our Boss Lady community. Boss Lady community is a membership organization, and we'll talk a little more about that toward the end. But for now, we want to jump into our topic of the day, because this one is one that you might want to think about a little bit, and it's making tough decisions. We all have times in our lives when we have tough decisions to make. Jen and I are going to share two today with you that are related to work, to our different work careers and our work journeys. But the concepts we're going to talk about are good for any kind of decision you have to make, whether it's a professional decision or it's a personal decision. But specifically today, we're going to talk about professional. But when we get to the end and we leave the tips, you can use them anywhere, right? Because a decision is a decision is a decision. And we're all faced with them. Some we get to prepare for and some we have to make on the fly, right?
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
So when I talk about making a decision, and I was thinking about this particular topic for the podcast, what came to mind for me was the decision I had to make to stay within my industry. I worked for the YMCA for 30 years before joining the entrepreneur world, but it was deciding when to apply for my next promotion that I wanted and had strived for, which was to be the CEO of an organization, a YMCA organization. I was already the chief operating officer for a very large Y organization, over $30 million YMCA organization, but I had been asked to apply to become the CEO of what was then about a $12 to $15 million organization. So half the budget size, but more than multiplied millions times over, I now know the responsibility of being the CEO. So it was a tough decision, not only in was I ready for that position, but it involved moving to another city 2 hours away from where I was living. Thankfully, my children were grown, so I didn't have to move them. but it was still a big decision that I had to make. So we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But Jennifer, what was the decision that you decided to share with us today?
So I started my career in television news. So I was a journalist for a decade at two different TV stations in the very early part of my career, my 20s and my early 30s. And I was faced with a decision, do I want to remain in this industry or am I ready to go and try something else? And there's a little history probably to share with, for those of you that are not familiar, TV news is a very highly demanding job. It looks very, to some, it may look very glamorous and I'm on TV every night and there is an enormous amount of work and sacrifice that those individuals that choose that industry, due to have that job, and it is not very glamorous. I will say that. And it really is a tough family life too. So thinking about those things, I was trying to figure out what I wanted my next thing to be, because after 10 years, I was not where I wanted to be. I wanted to be full-time on the anchor desk. I wanted to be out of the field, off of some of that pressure. I wanted more money. And I was kind of at a crossroads and it was time to make a decision to stay or to go.
Yeah. Those are big decisions. You know, mm-hmm. whether it's applying for that next position that you've always dreamed of wanting or changing total industries, both of those are decisions that you will be faced with, you know, whether you want to move up or whether you want to move lateral or you need to move, you know, maybe you have a spouse or a partner that moves. And so you're forced to move and find another job in a different industry. There's so many different scenarios that play out in both of these. But for me, I had decided 20 years before this that I wanted to be a CEO. Didn't know what I didn't know. But that was my ultimate goal, was to be the CEO of a YMCA association. I didn't want to be at a small one independent Y. I wanted to be at a Y that had multiple locations. Because as I was working with the Y in Jacksonville, we had at that time, it's changed some post-COVID, but we had 23 locations. The job that I was asked to apply for had seven locations. So again, about half the size, but a lot more responsibility. And even though I was asked to apply, the way a job in the Y works is the board of directors gets to decide who they hire. So yes, I got a call from a peer that asked me to apply who had done some consulting work with that Y, but there was no surefire guarantee that I was going to be hired. And the person that asked me to apply would have nothing to do with the hiring process. He was not a vote. It was all volunteer board members. I had already at the time let my current CEO know that in the next 5 years or so, I was hoping to make that leap, and he was willing to help me. But it came 5 years before we thought. So the first decision I had to make is, do I tell him or not? Or do I just go try this, and if I don't get hired, blah, blah, blah. And for me, that was not really an option. This CEO, his name was Paul. He'd been a great leader for me. And I felt that I owed him that transparency and honesty. And the reality is, let's face it, any industry really is a small world. So the chances of me going through an interview and him not finding out were slim to none.
Yeah.
But he was also someone I valued his opinion and his advice. So I went to him and said, here's an opportunity. What do you think? And he said to me, well, go through the process. Even if you don't get it, it's a good process for you to learn for the next time. And he said, the reality, and I've never forgotten this, and I've used it a lot, is that when you are being interviewed, it's a two-way street. just because you're being interviewed, and maybe just because they offer you a position, you don't have to take it if for some reason you don't feel it's a great fit. So there's that. So I went forward and I did get hired, but I think talking to Paul about it, as well as talking to other people about it, that I valued their opinion. We've done a podcast on personal board of directors, so look that one up. But I had this core group of people that I go to for advice. Or really, I go to them to listen to me talk through a problem so I can figure out what I want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Talk it out loud.
Talk it out loud, right. So between going to my personal board of directors and sharing this and going with what I knew I had worked so hard for, this is the opportunity to get the job I wanted. So my gut was telling me to go forward. So I did, and I got the job, and things worked out well. I was there for 10 years before I said, yeah, I want to be an entrepreneur. But it was a gut-wrenching decision. Even after they offered me the job, I felt like I had caught the bus. And I was like, oh my gosh, I really was not expecting to get hired. It was my first time out to apply for a CEO position. They hired me. Now I had another decision to make. Am I going to leave or not? Because I was in a really good place with the why I was with. The money wasn't a huge difference because I was, you know, second in charge of a large organization versus being first in charge of a small organization. So it really wasn't a huge financial decision. It was a, do I want to move? And do I want to leave somewhere I'm comfortable and go to the unknown? And I chose to do it. And there's pros and cons to that, that decision. But hey, I moved to Daytona. I've met my husband. I've met you, Jen. I've started entrepreneur. I mean, I can't imagine my life any different had I gone down a different path. So right, wrong, or indifferent, at some point, as I had a coach tell me one time, when you're making a decision, you have to weigh all the pros and cons. And I know you'll talk about that, Jen, but eventually you just have to make a decision. You
no
have
paralysis.
To decide to jump off the cliff and hope you have a soft landing. And the reality is, it's not the end of the world if you don't. And you'll talk about that a little bit, Jennifer, about, you know, the pros and cons and the fears and all of that. So that's the one that I wanted to chat about today, is just do your homework, right? And then you got to go for it and give it all you got.
Work out the pros and cons.
Yeah.
It's an important part. At least it is a part of my process for sure.
Yeah. And how did you do that for your change?
So a couple of things about where I was at. So I had, I was in television news. I was a part-time reporter and a part-time like weekend anchor. And let me tell you, the anchor role is a whole lot cushier than the reporter world. And so I had a goal of, I wanted to be a main anchor. I wanted to do it full-time Monday through Friday. That's what I wanted to be. But many, many times in the world of journalism, you don't move up where you're at. You have to move somewhere else. Teresa, much like you were just talking about, you have to move maybe to a little bit of a smaller place to get the promotion in order to eventually get back to where you were at, right? So it's a lot of moving. And at the time, I was a young mom, and I had one child who was under the age of two, at least at this point. My husband was in a good job, and we weren't really looking to move. And so there was a moment that happened. I had been in, I had started a master's program because I had kind of seen a little bit of writing on the wall in the news industry. So this is going back 2006, 2007. There was a big conflict at that time within, especially the newspaper industry. It hadn't quite hit television yet, but it was the internet. Yeah. And I know you're like, well, wait, the internet started a long time before that. And that's very true. But the conflict that was happening was that do journalists or newspapers charge for content? And it was a huge, industry conversation. So papers like the New York Times could certainly charge for their content, but local papers had a lot harder time. And so there were a lot of layoffs going on in the newspaper industry. There was a lot of upheaval within the industry of journalism. And quite frankly, there still is. But that's what I was looking at. I was looking at what was going on around me. And I had decided to go into a master's program and kind of lean towards public relations or maybe sales in the news industry, something that was akin to what I was doing, but maybe not a totally quantum leap away from to a different industry. And so my brain was already on that path. And so this moment of decision came when I set a meeting with my boss. And I said, listen, it's like you have an main anchor opening. It's put up or shut up time. I'm like, you know, I want this role. And he basically said to me, that's nice, but we're not ready to put you in that role. You need to go to the Jacksonville. It was so funny, Teresa, because I was working in Orlando at the time. And so she was like, you need to go to the Jacksonville, the Fort Myers, the smaller
market. And I was in Jacksonville getting to Daytona.
Right? Too funny. So that was my reality. He's like, you need to go get that experience and then let's talk. And that was not what I wanted to hear. But the irony was, and I was spitfire and mad. You know, leaving work that day, I was on fire. I was like, this is ridiculous. I was upset. And at the time, my father worked in the TV news industry as well. So I get in the car to make that commute back home. And I called him and I said, you're not going to believe what happened today. This is what happened, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, oh, well, that's interesting. I have some news for you. And I said, what's that? And he said, one of my former TV colleagues who now works in PR called me today and asked if you would be interested in leaving television.
Oh, wow.
Same day. Literally same exact day.
Wow.
And I said, you know what? I think I might. So that started a journey. I was thinking about public relations, but in the master's program I was after, but as you just said, I caught the bus before I was quite ready to catch it. And so that started a churning of events that led me to leave television. And it was a very scary decision for me because I was early in my career. It was the only work that I'd ever known. And I was other than teenage working in fast food types of, right? Like,
right.
I'm not really counting that. But it was really the only professional work that I'd ever known. And the thing about television is once you leave TV and go to PR, the door slams on your back. There's no going back the other direction because you've left for the dark side. And so that's just the rules of the industry, right? So once you go out into the world of I'm going to spin news for consumption of other news channels, the TV world doesn't want you back. You're almost kind of like tainted goods, if you will. So when you make that choice, you make it knowing that part of your life in journalism is now over. And so that was really a big thing for me. And asking myself the question, am I going to be okay not being on television anymore? That was a big part of my identity at the time. And how was I going to feel about that? And so those were kind of the pros and the cons that I was sorting through, but I also knew very well that life in television was not going to be sustainable for me while raising a family. Yeah. It's too chaotic, too high pressure. Your life is theirs. It is not yours. Yeah. And that is not a reflection of my employer. That's a reflection of the industry and what is acceptable for that industry. Yeah. If I thought it was bad then, it's probably worse. So going through that, ultimately, I decided to go through the interview process with the potential new job in PR. And I was like, oh my gosh, can I do PR? Like, I hadn't finished this master's program, but they were looking for someone who had some TV skills to do some reporting work at this organization, as well as kind of groom me to do some more PR work. And so that sounded like a transition that I could get on board with. So then I had to backpedal a little bit and figure out, how on God's green earth am I now going to get out of my contract?
Every decision brings another decision or another problem.
Yep. So in television, you have contracts. And, you know, so I kind of had to break the news to my boss that I had another offer. What ultimately ended up working out was that my contract was up for renewal in about 2 months. And there was a stipulation in my contract that I hated. I wanted it out of there, but it was standard language and I couldn't get them to drop it. The language was I signed a 3-year contract. So every year on the anniversary of that contract, they could release me without cause. And that was their out. And I didn't have an out. And I didn't like that. But I went to them and I said, listen, you're not going to promote me. You told me that you weren't. And 2, I want you to use your clause to release me from the contract on my anniversary. And they agreed.
Wow.
That they would do that. And so they were like a little taken aback, but I was like, this is what I want. I'm ready to go because I still had 2 more years on the contract. Like, they could have held me there and said no. But I think wisely they, you know, understood that, do we really want to hold someone's feet to the fire that has another opportunity
and maybe doesn't want to be here?
Doesn't want to be here, right? Yeah. Does that make a whole lot of sense?
Yeah.
So that's how it happened. And ultimately I said yes. And I would say that in retrospect, looking back, analyzing that decision, looking at the industry, weighing the pros and cons, understanding what was the future for my family and what my earning potential could be, and the fact that I could stay where I was in the community that I was and raise the family, my family where I wanted to do that. Those were all big, big factors in making the decision to say, okay, I'm ready to leave this industry and try something new. And looking in the rearview mirror, I'm so glad that I did that.
All right. So, you know, when we both were giving our examples, we both brought up children. We both brought up families. I said mine was grown. I didn't have to worry about that. I'd already moved mine once 10 years earlier, which is a whole nother episode to moving teenagers, hindsight. Yep. But we do what we have to do, right? And you brought up your family. And if anybody has read the new book about Barbara Walters, I forget the name of it, but she talks a lot in this biography about Rule Breaker, it's called, the sacrifice to family of being in the TV industry. Mm-hmm. And obviously she made those sacrifices, but later in life, she, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but basically she regretted those. So it's a great industry.
I know many people in the industry that either made decisions not to have children for their career, or made decisions to focus on the career that maybe didn't allow them as much time to spend with the children, and that became detrimental. There's a long line.
So any kind of professional decision still has these outlier issues that you have to think about. So, you know, it's everything from weighing the pros and cons to knowing what your future's like. You know, when we talk about the action items to making a decision, we talk about getting guidance from the right people. Again, I call them my personal board of directors. Jennifer, you know, talked to her dad. She talked to, you know, interviewed for the job. And like we said, it's a two-way street. But I think, and we talked about pros and cons. And in Jennifer's world, she looked at what is my future here? And, you know, all the things she described, maybe not so great. It doesn't fit any longer. But it's listening to our gut. If we just take that time through meditation or prayer, whatever, and really listen to our own voice, oftentimes we know the answer. We know the right decision to make. But I always think, too, most of our decisions, not all, most, are not life or death. You know, so even if we choose this path and we think, you know, moving into it, maybe it was the wrong path, there are options to change. Most everything's changeable, right? I took the job, I stayed there 10 years, and I decided I wanted to do something different. You took a job, you had a great successful career, and then you decided to leave corporate America. So I have a good friend who, Joanna is her name, and she actually will be the, one of the speakers at our upcoming conference in September. And she says, and I quote her often with this, she says, if you change one thing, you change everything. So we both talked about, you know, our paths would have never crossed. I wouldn't have met Bob, my husband. I mean, I'm sure there's story after story you could tell about your family and how that decision impacted so many of the good things in your life, right?
Absolutely. So yep.
We have to make a decision. You know, there's nothing worse than just, in my opinion, maintaining and staying status quo until it's too late to have those decisions.
Yes.
So wherever you are in your life or your career, oftentimes we bring our own decision-making to the table because we're making choices about what we want to do. I made a choice that I wanted to be a CEO. So the opportunity came, I had a decision. You made a choice. Maybe TV wasn't going to fit the family you had created. You had other opportunities that allowed you then to make a different decision.
Yeah. And it did change. It changed a lot. It allowed me more flexibility to be around home more, be home on the weekends and in the evenings, not work nights, be able to, you know, go to birthday parties and do all of those kind of things. It allowed me to finish my master's degree. So it allowed me to have a second child and be able to do all of that as well. So, but you know, it's funny because what we envision, as you're talking about this, all the things, the jump that I, when I made from TV to public relations, all the freedoms that I appreciated,
right?
Same thing happened when I jumped from corporate America to entrepreneurship.
It's great.
It's just a different type of thing. Like I never envisioned I would be, you know, we're recording this and my alarm just went off, if you heard it in the background, to remind me to go pick up my son.
Yeah, you have to go pick up a child.
Pick up a child. So I would have never in a million years thought that would have been my reality had I not, you know, made that jump to entrepreneurship to actually have a more flexible schedule than even I experienced in corporate America. You know, so it's all cyclical. You don't know what the snowball effect is going to be.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's definitely a snowball effect. Like I said earlier, you don't know what you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. The good, the bad, and the indifferent. But we're going to leave you today. So Jennifer can go pick up her son. We want to give you a decision to make, and it's an easy one. We're going to help you with it. We have a women's leadership conference coming up in Daytona Beach, right on the beach, great brand new hotel, September 19th and 20th. You can go online to laddernetwork.org and find all the information, the speakers, even Joanna that I briefly mentioned here that will be there. So we want you to decide that you are going to join us in September. But until then, we're going to close this podcast like we always do with asking you to please remember to make time to embrace, empower, and educate yourself and others. Until we meet again, take care.
Bye-bye.